Welcome to the Stories of Faith podcast channel, a ministry outreach effort by the youth deacons of the First Presbyterian Church of Edmond, Oklahoma. This podcast episode is the first of three parts, featuring an interview with Ella Mae Miller. Ella Mae is a member of our church and celebrated her 90th birthday in June of 2008. She has five children, 18 grandchildren, and 19 great-grandchildren. She has lived an amazing life, and in this interview she shared memories of her life growing up, reflections on her journey of faith, and insights about the things which bring her joy as a child of God, living in almost a century on earth. Thanks to Ella Mae for sharing this interview, as well as Crystal McGee for assisting in the interview.
Whenever I came to Edmond, I was going to the Baptist youth group then.
Okay.
But my husband was very active in the Presbyterian youth group, but he met me and wanted me to go to church with him, and I said, no, you come and go with me. I mean, he wanted, he could go with me, and since I wouldn't go to his, he wanted to know if he'd go with me. But I was going to the Baptist youth group. And so he came there. Then the girls, all from the Presbyterian group, howled. So they said, you've got to come over to the Presbyterian church because we got to have him. They didn't want me. They wanted him. But we did go there. And I got to go in with him, and I got to go in church with him, and finally, after quite a while back, I joined the Presbyterian Church here in Edmond, because that's where he went, and I just decided that I needed to be in that church if I was going to, I mean, we'd join that church if that's where I was going to go.
Then did you meet him when you were in high school then?
No, or college.
You were in college?
Yes.
Were you UCO?
Where did yes, you here in Edmond.
Okay.
My life has been pretty much around here. And so I did join the church in 38, but we kept going together, and he did ask me to marry him, and we did get married.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told me if he hadn't joined the church, I wouldn't have married him.
Really? What was different back then between going to the Presbyterian youth group and the Baptist? Were there many differences?
Well, Not that I knew. I mean, I wasn't that interested in religion.
Mm-hmm.
As far as that was concerned, I liked to go to Sunday school, and I did go to Sunday school some, and I did go to church some, but as far as being really a Christian, I like to think that I was, but I know I wasn't.
Now, you didn't just live in the United States when you were growing up. You lived some other places too, right?
Yes, but growing up, I was here in the United States.
When did you go abroad?
After I married and had two kids.
Oh, okay.
See, my husband was very, very religious. My children's father was a good man. I mean, really good. He's a person that brought love into my life, not only for me, but for Christ and everybody else, I guess. Because he was a good man.
So when you give advice to your grandchildren, what's some of the advice that you would give them, looking back on your life, of the things that you did, or the experiences that you have, what kinds of words of wisdom do you have to pass on?
I'm wise enough to give them
Oh, I bet you are.
But I did Jody came over and was with me, my son, and I said to him, do you remember your father reading to you? He said, yes, I remember him reading to me. Because I remembered that that's the way my children learned to read, was the fact that he read to them. But Johnny said to me, when I got to be 6 years old, he made me read to him.
He turned the tables, huh?
So that was funny. But I really enjoyed him being here. Just the ball game had so many ads on it, and he would turn off when it wasn't playing the ball game, turn off, and we got to talk. There wasn't anybody here with me. Usually we have all of his kids and everybody else around, but Johnny was here, so I got to question him about little things.
Well, you said that when you, looking back, you might not have, you thought you were a Christian, but you might not have really been one or act like one. Tell me a little bit more about that. When do you feel like you came to know, what does it mean to you to be a Christian? Let me ask that.
I guess to love and be loved, I guess, is the thing that was the main thing. I don't know. I guess I've always been loved all my life. But it didn't appear to me until I had someone that no matter what I did, no matter what I did or said, I'll tell you a little trick there, something that really showed me that my husband loved me above everything else, because of the fact he had a bunch of sheets of typing paper that he used, and it was very important to him, that typing paper and things. But it was something that was bothering me, and he said something to me, and I didn't like what it was that he had wanted me to do or wanted to say. And I picked up that paper and kind of threw it down on the floor, kind of toward him anyway. But I didn't hit him or anything. I just threw it down the floor. And he did not fuss at me. He did not say one mean word to me. He did not do anything but gently pick that paper up, sheet by sheet, and stacked it up there, and didn't say anything. I knew that he loved me.
That's a heart of love and patience to be able to do that, isn't it?
It was, because that was something that he liked. But my family hadn't been real loving and kind to people. They just kind of liked to had their own way, I guess.
So you grew up Baptist?
Not exactly Baptist, no. I didn't go to the Baptist church, but I can't say that I grew up in any religion. I went to Presbyterian. My father did not go to the church. I mean, my stepfather. I had a stepfather, and he did not go to church. And Mother didn't go either very, I can't remember her going very often. But I did go because I had some friends that went to Sunday school. So I liked to go to, I'd get up and go to Sunday school with them sometimes. Well, the one thing that made me start doing it was because the neighbor had little get-togethers for the kids that went to Sunday school. And I lived across the street, and I saw them having fun, and they wanted to invite me over, and they went to the Presbyterian church, and so they would invite me over, And I'd even go to Sunday school at the Presbyterian Church. But when I came down to college, the Baptist invited me to BFU. And so that's what I was doing.
What do you remember about Sunday school back then? Do you remember what that was like or what they...
Well, we just got together and talked about the Bible and talked about Jesus and things, but I did learn some, but it was not anything. I had a grandmother that would come, and she was there for one time when they were having a revival in the little kind of a park that we had there, and she took me to that revival, and I thought that was something, really.
Now, were they baptizing people there, or what was the revival like?
They did baptize, but they took them out to the river whenever they... they took them to a lake or a stream of water someplace, anyway. And so I decided that might be just real nice to be a Christian, and I thought about getting baptized then, but I didn't. But as I said, then I did go to Sunday school and to BYU, and then I got interested in my husband, who was not my husband, and got to go in with him all the time, and so therefore I wound up being a Presbyterian, and I wound up being a Christian, and I think it is all because of my husband.
When were you baptized? Do you remember being baptized?
I think we were baptized then.
When you joined the church?
Church.
Uh-huh.
I was baptized. I wasn't stuck in the water. I was just baptized.
You were sprinkled. That was a Presbyterian baptism. Huh?
But then I have been very much, ever since then, I have been very much in the church.
How has the church been important to you in your life and the community of people in the church?
Very, very important. Is an important part of my life, and still I get so set here that I don't get down there all the time. I don't like to have people have to come and get me and bring me back and do things like that. So I just stay here instead of going.
My kids sure like to see you, though, when you ride the bus on Sundays.
You go every Sunday morning. You don't go for all the...
I go to... I go to Sunday school.
Sure. To church
on Sunday. But I used to go. I even have taught Sunday school classes. I had...
Did you? What ages? Were they adults or kids?
No, they were kids. Always kids. Whenever I went home for some of the summer... Even when I was in college, when I went home for the summer, they had me teaching a young girl's Sunday school class.
You were active in circles, too, weren't you?
Well, yes. I guess I have done a lot of things that way, but I haven't done as much work for the church as I should.
What was a time when you felt really closest to God? Either when you were, this is at any time of your life, would you say you felt real close? And I'm going to ask also when you felt distant from God. So if that time comes to mind first, you could tell that story. But is there a time that comes to mind particularly where you either felt particularly close to God or maybe particularly far away for some reason?
I don't know. To tell you about that. And different times I have felt very close to God, and other times that He's been kind of But I don't know how to tell you that. I mean,
did having children change things for you when you because how many children?
I got five children.
Five children.
Wonderful children. We wanted six. We were going to have six. We planned to have six children, but God didn't give me the sixth one. But that fifth one was very nice. Well, in fact, when we were in Iran, we decided to have two, get them in school, mm-hmm. have two more, mm-hmm. get them in school, have two more.
Okay.
And it worked out until we were in Iran. And I said, it was time to have Crystal. And I said, no way. I said, let's wait until we get back to the States.
Was that because of hospital situations there? Or
yeah,
what?
It was because of us being in a foreign country and me not knowing the doctors, me not knowing anything.
You didn't know the language yet, did you?
No. I just felt like, no, I can't do that. And he said, yep, God'll take care of us. And we got to go ahead or we won't be able to have our plan, our children. And he convinced me that it would be no worse than having it in the States, that everything would be all right. It was.
So and you were born in Iran?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, she was born in Iran. That was an experience too, because there was not a war, but uprising in Iran. They're trying to overthrow the Shah, and I was time to have Crystal. And I was so worried, because if you got sick during the night, you couldn't go out on the streets.
Curfew
was on. So they had me going over and staying all night at the hospital
just
several days before she was born. Mm-hmm. I stayed all night because I could get up and go home in the morning, but I had to be there before 11 o'clock and go home in the morning, because they had curfew. And then at another time, they sent us all out of what was another time they were trying to overthrow the show. I think they really did that time. I mean, really got rid of it. But anyway, we went to Gatchi Sarah that time and lived in a hotel. Had no kids then.
Now, what was your husband doing in Iran?
He's assistant treasurer.
Okay.
For the mission.
Oh, okay. For the State Department?
For the Presbyterian Church.
Oh,
he was the first missionary sent out from First Pres Edmund.
His picture's in the hall down there if you haven't seen it.
I've probably seen it, but I just didn't connect all the stories that I should have connected with.
You don't have the same last name anymore, Mom.
It's John Port.
And so he went to spread the gospel in Iran. Wow.
And he would have kept it going back and worked there the rest of his life. Mine too. Because we would not have been separated.
In Tehran, is that where you
yes.
were?
Yes. He was set on it. I mean, he really wanted to be a missionary.
Now, did you know that when you met him in college? that he wanted to be a missionary?
No, not then.
Did he know it?
I don't think he did know that that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to be a writer at that time whenever I was going with him. He was painting pictures and writing. And that's another funny thing that happened. I was in an art class. I wasn't any good. And he would be standing there waiting for me to get something done so that we could go walk out in the park or just go someplace. And he would be standing there by me. And I was trying to finish up what I had to get done before I could leave. And I got along fine because of the fact that I would be just working like everything, and everything I did, that still wouldn't look like a picture. And one day, he took a hold of the chalk, and he just threw that a couple of lines on that picture, and it looked like a picture. And there I'd been working for a long time trying to make it look like a picture. I couldn't, but the teacher walked in. And he said, I thought your work was getting much better.
What was it like to be a Christian family in Iran?
Well, the Iranians didn't like us, but some people liked us.
Was there already a Christian community there that you
yes.
all went to join?
Yes.
How very many people?
Yes, there was. The hospital unit was there where the soldiers had been. And so we had flush toilets. And
was that unusual?
Water, yes. And our house had water and electricity. And it was not, and then whenever we moved, we still went to the church compound. See, we were in a compound, and we were inside walls, and the school was inside a wall too. And the church compound, the school was in the church compound. They had houses, and they had the school, and they had the business offices in one place. And then the hospital compound was another place. That's where we went first. But then we moved down to the business place.
Were you all connected to the embassy at all, or was it a separate compound?
We were not connected to the embassy.
It was all church.
It was all church there. And the embassy was off at another place. But we did get invited to a party there and saw the president.
Really? Which president was that?
Nixon.
President Nixon.
But he was vice president.
He
when
was
he saw
vice
him.
President. Yeah. When he came and visited us.
Sorry.
But anyway.
So, what did you all have church services there within the compound?
Yeah,
mainly for Americans who were there, or some Iranians?
They had Americans and Iranian people too. We had an English service and a Persian mm-hmm. service, and then we had some other services too going on. But anyway, they taught school in English.
Now, were you a teacher?
Not then, but whenever he died, I went back to school,
mm-hmm.
and. Then's when I see when we got married, I had just a couple of years, but he had four. He graduated whenever he was 18. No, he was
19, I think.
It was before he was 20.
Okay.
But he had to have his father get his license for him.
for
so he'd get married.
Oh.
But
what do you mean by that?
He wasn't old enough.
So his dad went in and bought the license for him?
Well, he went with him.
I
had to sign for him.
Yeah.
How old did you have to be then to get a marriage license?
I think the man had to be 21.
Really?
And he wasn't quite 20.
Huh. Interesting.
He was 20 when we got married, though.
Was it challenging to be a Christian in a Muslim nation? I mean, how?
Well, everybody looked at you. I mean, it was just different to live there. I mean, to be a foreigner in a country where you don't speak the same language. But after you've been there for a while and learn the language, it's not bad at all.
Now, did you learn to speak Farsi?
I could get along fine in conversations. I never have been able to read it and do things that I should have been able to do. But I could talk it. They did understand me sometimes.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing.
And so it was nice. The ladies were nice. They have good people there. As I said, after you learn the language, it's learn enough language that you can talk
mm-hmm.
and understand what's going on. It's not bad at all, and you would like it. And I told my husband when we were getting ready to come home, I didn't think it was bad. We didn't need to go home or so. And I said, things are not so bad here anymore. And he said, it's time for you to go home.
Well, how would you all share your faith with Muslims who had a very different experience?
Well, you did it by just being kind to them, talking with them, and trying to help them whatever they were doing. I mean,
was the school that you all had open to them? So there were there.
Yes.
Was that part of the ministry?
We had the children that wanted to learn English.
Didn't she work in a well baby clinic too?
Yes, and we had a well baby clinic. We would give milk and powdered milk and cereals to the poor babies. I mean, mm-hmm. weigh them and try to tell them what they needed to, mm-hmm. to do for the baby. So we had a well baby clinic there, and we weighed the babies and kept tab on them.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice, as I said, after you're there for a while. The first year is kind of not so good, but you have to work hard.
How many years were you there?
5.
Thanks for listening to the Stories of Faith podcast channel, a ministry outreach effort by the Youth Deacons of First Presbyterian Church of Edmond, Oklahoma. You can learn more about our church and how you can become a part of our loving Christian community by visiting our website at www.fpcedmond.org. Please come worship with us on Sunday morning at the corner of 10th and Rankin in Edmond, Oklahoma. We also hope you'll listen to parts 2 and 3 of this special interview with Ella Mae Miller. May God bless you this week.